Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, Text 50. Please repeat.
Chittim dharumayim chitta. Chittim dharumayim chitta. Tasyam pratyukalevaram. Tasyam pratyukalevaram. Adipya chanumarane. Adipya chanumarane. Vilapandi manodade. Vilapandi manodade.
Others? Mataji's? Chitim. Funeral pyre, darumayim, made with wood, chitva, having piled up, tasyam, on that, pratyuhu, of the husband, kalevaram, body, adipya, after igniting, cha, also, anumarane, to die along with him. Vilapandi, lamenting. Manaha, her mind. Dade, fixed. Translation. She then prepared a blazing fire with firewood and placed the dead body of her husband upon it. When this was finished, she lamented severely and prepared herself to perish in the fire with her husband. Please repeat. She then prepared a blazing fire with firewood and placed the dead body of her husband upon it. When this was finished, she lamented severely and prepared herself to perish in the fire with her husband. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. It is the long-standing tradition of the Vedic system that a faithful wife dies along with her husband. This is called Sahamarana. In India, this system was prevalent even to the date of British occupation. At that time, however, a wife who did not wish to die with her husband was sometimes forced to do so by her relatives. Formerly, that was not the case. The wife used to enter the fire voluntarily. The British government stopped this practice, considering it inhuman. However, from the early history of India, we find that when Maharaj Pandu died, he was survived by two wives, Madri and Kunti. The question was whether both should die or one should die. After the death of Maharaj Pandu, his wives settled that one should remain and the other should go. Madri would perish with her husband in the fire, and Kunti would remain to take charge of the five Pandava children. Even as late as 1936, we saw a devoted wife voluntarily enter the fire of her husband. This indicates that a devotee's wife must be prepared to act in such a way. Similarly, a devoted disciple of the spiritual master would rather die with the spiritual master than fail to execute the spiritual master's mission. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes down upon this earth to reestablish the principles of religion, so his representative, the spiritual master, also comes to reestablish religious principles. It is a duty of the disciples to take charge of the mission of the spiritual master and execute it properly. Otherwise, the disciple should decide to die along with the spiritual master. In other words, to execute the will of the spiritual master, the disciple should be prepared to lay down his life and abandon all personal considerations. Gurave Gurachandraya Radhikaya Tadalaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tad Bhaktaya Namo Namaha. So we're hearing in this chapter something about how the daughter of King Vidarbha, when her husband, the king, passed away, what was her situation? And Srila Prabhupada doesn't mince words. He doesn't try to compromise to please modern mentalities, modern sentiment. But he very boldly describes that the tradition is that the wife should also enter the fire along with the body of her dead husband, and in this way leave her body. And this is called sati. The Prabhupada says sati maranam. And such a lady who does so is known as sati. She's known as a very, very chaste lady. And Prabhupada cites the example from the Mahabharata of Maharaj Pandu and his two wives, Kunti and Madri, and how after Maharaj Pandu left his body, they had some discussion. Because both wives, they also couldn't tolerate to live without their husband. Both wives desired that, I want to leave my body now. I can't tolerate separation from my husband. And there was some discussion, and Madri won. She was allowed to enter the fire with her husband because Kunti, she had more children, and one of them had to remain behind to take care of their young children. But the preferred act between the two of them was to leave the body with the husband. Srila Prabhupada notes that at one point in India, this was being forced upon ladies. Even today, sometimes in the news, we hear in some villages, some people forcing a woman to enter into the funeral pile along with their husband. Why did they do such a thing? Because it's considered that if a woman enters into the funeral pyre with a husband, then she's a very, very exalted person. And to this day, in many places in India, there are many ladies who are famous for having entered into the funeral pyre along with their husband. But as Prabhupada notes, it shouldn't be something that's forced. And because of that, the British, they stopped this. And Srila Prabhupada, he compares this departure of the daughter of the king of the king of Vidarbha, her husband, he compares this to the departure of the spiritual master. And he compares that queen to the disciple. And Srila Prabhupada says a very startling thing. He says that a bona fide disciple won't want to live after the departure of the guru. A bona fide disciple will live only for one reason after the departure of the guru, and that's to execute the order of the spiritual master. To this day, if you go to Ramuna in Orissa, you'll find there the samadhi of Srila Rishikananda Prabhu. Not exactly his full samadhi. It's his bed and his shoes and some of his flutes and different personal items. Rishikananda Prabhu said that one day when he went to Ramuna, he ran to the deities of Kirchhor Gopinath and he entered into the deities. And you'll find his samadhi there, of his bed and his shoes and different personal items. And around that samadhi, there are six or eight small samadhis. Those small samadhis are samadhis of his disciples who left their bodies when their Guru Maharaj left this world. This is an example. They couldn't tolerate to live without their guru. Similarly, there's a story found in the Adivaraha Purana and the Mahabharata of one guru. It said in Shasya Samitpani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam that the disciple should collect firewood for the guru so that the guru can perform jagya. That's the duty of the disciple, to assist the guru in his business of doing jagya. So once one guru, he called for his disciple. Go, you collect some firewood so we can do Agnihotra, Jagya. The disciple went out and he looked all day long and he wasn't able to find anything, even though he searched and searched all day. So at the end of the day, he returned to his Guru Maharaj's ashram with nothing. And he said, Guru Maharaj, I'm very sorry. Please forgive me. I looked everywhere. I searched everywhere I could, but I couldn't find any firewood. I'm a failure. And his guru became a little annoyed with him. You looked everywhere? The disciple said, yes, Guru Maharaj, I don't know. Maybe you can tell me where else I should look? And his guru told him in a very angry way, go to hell. Go look in hell. And the disciple said, yes, Guru Maharaj. So he went to hell. And he was wandering around, and the Yamadutas were there torturing different people. And he's going around asking them, do you guys know where there's any firewood? Any firewood here? And the Yamadutas, they noticed him. He doesn't seem to really belong to this place. So they went to Yamaraj. And they said, hey, boss, there's some guy here. Definitely doesn't look like he belongs here in hell. So Yamaraj called for him. What are you doing? Oh, my Guru Maharaj told me to come here. Told me I should come and look for some firewood. So that's why I've come. And Yamaraj was very touched, seeing how sincere that devotee was. And he told him, you'll find some fire here, but you won't find any firewood. All the people who come here, they bring the fire with them. In the form of their sinful activities and their suffering because of that. So then Yamaraj took him by the hand and brought him back to his Guru Maharaj's ashram and told his guru, this is a genuine Satsishya. He's a genuine disciple. And you should bless him. Sometimes devotees, they complain. Oh, it's very, very difficult to find a bona fide guru. Very, very difficult thing. So many gurus, they've fallen down. And I don't really know who's bona fide and who's not. But according to Shastra and our Acharyas, that's not the real problem. There is no problem. Only one problem is there, is our lack of sincerity. There's a Bengali saying, Guru mile laki laki sishya mile ek. There's lakhs and lakhs of bona fide gurus. That's no problem. Krishna has so many. He can send at any moment. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Mahakavya by Murari Gupta, it's mentioned that Narad Muni, he's a pretty bona fide guru, I think, that Narad Muni is wandering around the earth in an unseen form looking for devotees who are sincerely chanting Hare Krishna. We can remember that when we're chanting our japa and falling asleep. And we wonder why I don't find a guru like Srila Prabhupada. I don't find such a person. They're there. In fact, Krishna tells Arjuna in the Padma Purana, Sangsara Vaishnavadino, Deva Vaishnava Palita, Hamcha Vaishnavadinas, Tesham Vaishnava, Sasarvasaha. He says that there's proof that there's pure devotees present. Some time back we heard someone was, they wrote some article saying, no sadhus in ISKCON. No, we have proof that there's sadhus. We have proof there's pure devotees in this world and in our society. What is the proof? Proof is the sun is shining. The proof is there's air to breathe. The proof is that this planet exists because Krishna himself says, Sangsara Vaishnavadino. This whole sangsar, it's dependent on the presence of the Vaishnavas. If there's no Vaishnavas, there's no universe. Deva Vaishnava Palitaha. The demigods, they can't exist. They're nourished by the Vaishnavas. Krishna says, what to speak of them, even me? I can't exist without the presence of the Vaishnavas. So we don't know who those persons are. It might be some housewife who's cooking in the house and doing some menial service. It might be a new bhakta who's washing pots. It might be a pujari. It might be the temple president. It might be any person. We don't know. Vaishnava chinidi nai devara shakati. Jagadananda Pandit says that even the demigods, they can't recognize who's a Vaishnav. But we're so proud. I have one godbrother, he once told someone, I know who's a Vaishnav. I've seen a Vaishnav before. Acha. But the demigods, they can't say who's a Vaishnav. They can't see. It's not such a cheap thing. Gadadhar Pandit, when he came before Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he couldn't recognize Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He thought, he's a Vishai, a materialistic person. He's chewing pan. We don't allow brahmacharis to stay in the ashram if they chew pan. How is person is supposed to be a Mahabhagavat? No. Mukunda, my friend, told me wrong. And he had this doubt. So Mukunda saw that. And he began to recite some verse from the Bhagavatam, Aho Bhakiya, that describing how merciful Krishna was to the sister of Bhaka, Bhakasura, Putana. And when Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard this, he began to cry and began to tear at his clothes and his hair and began to destroy all the opulent things in his room. And then Gadadhar Pandit saw, oh, I made a mistake, because you can't recognize a Vaishnav. What if I told you that I knew a leader in the society? And the leader, this is a group exercise. We want to see a show of hands. And this leader was stealing money from the hundi. And be honest, just be simple. It's not a trick question. How many devotees could offer respect to that leader even if you knew he was taking money from the hundi? Raise your hand. Anyone? No one could be respectful to him. Bhakta Rupa Prabhu could. He's a saint. Now, what if I told you that same person was having illicit relations with someone's wife. Is there anyone who could be respectful? And what if I told you he's having illicit relations with 10 or 15 different men's wives? And then what if I told you sometimes he was beating Vaishnavas? And then what if I told you that sometimes he was killing cows? And that he killed devotees, and he'd broken deities and broken temples. Could you respect him? Now, what if I told you he was an eternal associate of the Lord? And all those activities were part of his service to please the Lord. And his name was Jai or Vijay, who came as Hiranyakashipu or Hiranyaksha. And therefore, even the Bible, which is, Prabhupada says, an Upadharma Shastra, a lower Shastra, even the Bible says that we hate the sin and not the sinner. We don't like what Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha did. We don't take the remnants off their plate or drink the water that's washed their feet. But it's not our business to criticize them. We can't understand. And therefore, in one song in Gita Mala, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he offers obeisances and prayers to the so-called demons in Gaura Lila. And he says that it Lila Pushtakari, that they're nourishing the pastimes of the Lord. And they're great personalities. So Shreyan Sadharmu Viguna Paradharamat Swanustitat. Krishna gives this instruction twice in Gita. Do what you're supposed to do. Don't worry about everything else. Did you hear? Oh my God, this person did this thing and that leader did that thing and oh, this is very terrible. Why are you meditating on that? Do you think the material world is a perfect place? Do you think that all the devotees who've come here are perfect the moment they walk in the door? Are you so sentimental and so foolish? Srila Prabhupada said this is like a hospital. And he said we don't criticize someone for being dirty if they're standing in the shower. It's not a surprise when things happen like that. Why then do we become so absorbed with that? And don't get absorbed in what we're supposed to be absorbed in. Prabhupada said, this chanting should go on. Instead of meetings, resolutions, dissolutions, revolutions, and no solutions, this chanting should go on. This is the Hare Krishna movement, not the International Society for Management Consciousness, but the Society for Krishna Consciousness. Let them worry about it. Let Bhaja Hari Prabhu worry about it. That's his headache. Thank God I don't have to worry about that. I can just chant Hare Krishna and do what I'm supposed to do and be very happy. And all those other things that are going on, I don't have to worry about it. So Shreyan Sadharmu Viguna Paradharmat Sunustitat. I should do what's been given for me to do. Well, how do I know what I should do and what I should not do? This, as they say in America, is a $64,000 question. A very important question. And so many people, we see the proof is there on the internet. So many people have no idea what they're supposed to do. And they're trying to be the judge and the jury of everyone else. And in, by so doing, they're giving up their bhajan. Some person may be appointed to find fault, like the guru, or the temple leader, or the parents. That's their responsibility. But if it's not your service, don't worry about it. So how do we know what we should do? We should have a mystical experience. We'd like to have a voice, an Akashvani, come from the ether and say, hey, do this. This is your service. Then I'll be very confident. So that Akashvani should be there in each and every devotee's life. What is that Akashvani? That's described by the Bengali poet Sanatan Das. I'll sing a few verses, and you can chant Hare Krishna in response. Ashraya koriya vandon Sri Guru Charan Jaha hoite mile bhai Krishna prema dan Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He says that Asraya Kariyavandon, take shelter of Sri Guru Charan, the lotus feet of Sri Guru. Jahawete Milibhai, Krishna Premadan. If you do that, then you'll get Krishna Prem. So why is that? Why do I have to take shelter of Guru? I can just come and pray to Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari. What's the necessity of taking shelter of Guru? Sanatana Das says, no. Jivira Nistara Lagi Nanda Sutta Hare Bhuvane Prakashahana Guru Rupa Dhari Hare Krishna. Because Guru is Krishna Kripa Srimurti. He's a manifestation of Krishna's mercy. When Krishna's mercy manifests a form, that's Sri Guru. And he's come, he's manifested in this world. Krishna's come in the form of Sri Guru. So how should you treat him? Oh, I have to get initiated. Prabhuji, will you give me a letter of recommendation? I've been here now for 1 year. I'm chanting 16 rounds. Who should I take as a guru? So then you ask him, can you give me a list of all the gurus? It'd be nice also if I have some photographs. I want to see who's really a handsome guru. Like that. How should we see guru? Mahimaya guru Krishna eka kori jan. Guru agya hride sabha satya kori man. Hare Krishna. Mahimaya Guru Krishna, Eka Kori Jan, they're one person in Mahima, in glory. And you should accept Guru for the purpose not just to have a photograph taken with him, getting my beads, and then you blow the picture up very big and you put it on your wall, and you get a dozen little badges and things and put in your bead bag and you go and advertise. Amar Guru, Jagat Guru, my Guru Dev is very great. Why is he great? Because he accepted me. He must be great. This is the attitude of a Bahirmukh Jana, an external person. What is the purpose of accepting Guru? Not just to get a name. They're just calling me Bhakta Nuru. I don't like that name. I want an initiated name. Then they'll give me some respect. And I want a Brahmin thread. Then they'll give me more respect. That's not the purpose. Guru Agya Hrude Sabha Satya Kori Mani. The purpose is to accept an instruction from Guru. Because Guru is Krishna's representative. And there's many different representatives of Krishna. There's different types of gurus. There's Lokik Guru. And there's Paramarthik Guru. Lokik Guru may be your parents. Maybe your Madanga teacher. Maybe your IYF leader. Or your temple president. And you should respect them. That's culture. But it doesn't mean that I necessarily see them as being descended from the spiritual world sent by Krishna to me. But for the sake of the society, we respect them. That's culture. This Vedic culture is a culture of respect. Today is becoming a culture of disrespect. A cultured person respects him, but deho nata jata jata. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, not in a fanatical, sentimental way. If you do that, then you'll be disappointed at some point when that person may not be what you think they are. And then you may go away. So deho nata jata jata. Bhaktivinoda says, according to their position, you respect them. But we should respect everyone. But there may be Lokik gurus and Paramarthik gurus. Paramarthik Guru Srila Prabhupada says generally is one. And we want to take that person as Guru who I consider to be a direct representative of Krishna. That whatever he tells me is coming directly from Krishna. Now some people say, oh, that's a very big thing. I feel uncomfortable with that. And maybe there's going to be some bogus cheater who's going to pose like that. Yes. But just because there's some bogus cheaters doesn't mean there's no real thing. It doesn't mean that Krishna's broke and he looks in his pocket now and it's empty. And after Srila Prabhupada, there's no more pure devotees. So Bhakti Rupa was very fortunate. He was initiated by Prabhupada. But the rest of us were very unfortunate. And Krishna is just broke. He doesn't have anyone else. No. This universe is going on. And in this ISKCON movement, we see so many devotees doing kirtan. How can they do kirtan if there's no pure devotee present? Krishna says, I'm dependent on the devotees. And Abhinatva Namanamino, Krishna and his name are non-different. The fact the devotees are doing so much enthusiastic kirtan means there must be at least one pure devotee somewhere. And there may be many. We don't know. Our business is to cry to Krishna and depend on him. So we want an instruction from Guru, not just that we get initiated from him. And we take mantra. In Orissa, there's a saying, Konfunka Guru. Just, is that how you pronounce it? Konfunka Guru. Someone who spits in your ear. That's not Guru. Guru gives you mantra in the ear, not just that he spits something out. Satya Gyane Guru Vakke Jahara Vishvas Abhashyata Hara Hoy Braja Bhumi Bas Hare Krishna. You should have strong faith in your Gurudev. And you should accept that whatever he tells you is coming from Krishna. If you don't have faith like that, he's not really your guru. Or maybe there's something wrong with you, with your faith. But this is the real standard. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives a very startling example. Shushuvan matari bhagavina pituni yogat paritam dvishadvat pratyagrihid agrajasasanam tad agya gurunam yavacharaniya. He says that agya gurunam yavacharaniya. You should accept the instruction of the guru without any hesitation. And he gives an example. Just like Parshuram. When his father, Jamadagni, told him, hey, cut off your mother's head. And Parshuram said, yes, yes, father. And without a moment wasting, he cut off his mother's head. That's how much faith you should have in Guru. If he tells you to cut off your mother's head, you should do that. And if you have that kind of faith, you'll properly advance. You may have first-class cement. You may have very nice water. And you want to build the Heaven on Earth project. You may have very good sand, with no stones in it and very good cement. But it won't work unless a third ingredient is there, a very simple ingredient, which is water. You may have a very nice guru. You may be a very nice devotee and following in so many different ways. But something else is required for your relationship. Very simple thing. Unfortunately, we don't take seriously. That thing is faith. We have to have implicit faith. Yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tata guru tashyaite katitar hyata prakashandi mahatmanaha. We have to have the same kind of faith we have in Guru that we have in Krishna. And Jiva Goswami says that whatever kind of relationship you have with your Guru, you'll have the same kind of relationship with Krishna. Oh, he's a Konfunka Guru. He's my official Gurudev. I had to take initiation, so I just took from him. So then you'll also have an official kind of relationship with Krishna. We should take it seriously. The Guru is our everything. He's our life and soul. And Sanatan Das, he sings, Guru Mata Guru Pita Guru Hanapati Guru Bina Esamsari Nahi Aragati Hare Krishna. Your guru is your everything. Guru Mata, Guru Pita, he's your mother, your father. He gave you birth. Guru Hanupati, he's your husband. Guru Bina E Sangsari Nahi Aragati. There's no other way, no other way, no other way to get out of this sangsar. than taking shelter of Guru. So don't think he's an ordinary person. Don't take his instructions in a light way. In this regard, there's a nice example we'll give. Maybe we'll say another thing first. Srila Prabhupada's purport today is a very interesting purport. He describes that after the guru's disappearance, the disciple would rather leave his body. Now, some people, if they think about it, this may not digest very well with them. They'll say, Prabhupada's still present. Prabhupada's present in his books. Isn't it? But Prabhupada here is making a distinction. Prabhupada again and again and again, he says, the spiritual master is present in his books. Prabhupada said, I'm present in my books. But he's also making a distinction. Otherwise, why would the disciple leave his body after the demise of the guru? The books are still there. I can put the book on the Vyasasan and sit and have the book give class. I'll ask the book, should I get married? Should I take sannyas? What should I do? We can do like that. Because some people, they don't have proper faith. Srila Prabhupada described that here in Mumbai in a lecture in 1973 on the 5th of October. He said some very strong things. Please listen. He said, one cannot become a devotee by one's personal endeavor. Just like some rascals say, what is the use of accepting a guru? Prabhupada says, of course, they've got very bad experience. Wow. That one sentence describes a lot of people that I've met. What is the use of accepting a guru? Of course, they have very bad experience. Prabhupada said, because some people will say, I can read the books. Prabhupada said, it's not that if I like, I can go to a guru, and if I don't like, I can study books at home and learn everything. Prabhupada said, no, that's not possible. It's practical. Just like if you purchase a medical book and study at home and begin to practice, you'll be called a quack. Prabhuji, you have a headache. I've read a book. I have a pocket knife. I'll do brain surgery. Will you let me do? I memorized the whole book. He'll not let me do. Prabhupada said, the government won't recognize you. You'll not get the practitioner's registration unless you pass through the medical college and had your medical examination. You won't be accepted, even if you say, I've read all the books. Similarly, someone may say, I've read Bhagavad Gita 100 times. Prabhupada says, but if you ask him who is Krishna, he can't say because he's not approached the acharya. That's the difficulty. He might have read Bhagavad Gita 1,000 times, but he won't understand a single word because he hasn't approached. Therefore, Vedic literature says, tadviganartam sagarumi vabhagachet, abhigachet. This word is used when the sense is, you must. It is a vidalin form of the verb, you must. There's no excuse. You can't learn. This is a system. This is our tradition. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he speaks about this in Tattva Vivek. This is something that we printed in our Bindu magazine. If anybody would like a copy of this, you can find it in issue 216 on our website. Very interesting thing. Listen carefully. He says, in accepting a guru, one may later receive false teachings from him. Thus, out of fear of being directed to the wrong path, some persons are averse to accepting and worshiping any guru because they see some bogus persons have been there. So they're afraid of accepting any guru. Even a genuine saintly guru that may come, they may come in contact with. Some people say, the truth is there in one's own heart, and they can know it by their own endeavor. Therefore, there's no need to take shelter of a guru. And then some other people say that one should only accept the most prominent, famous guru, the Pradhan Acharya, the founder Acharya. You should only accept him, no one else. And Bhaktivinoda says, others among them say that one should only worship the scriptures. which are given by God. Still others say that the scriptures are filled with errors. And they're afraid, so they won't honor any scripture. And Bhaktivinoda says, please know that all these philosophies are wrong in every way. They present that God has many faults and is unable to help the individual souls. The Hare Krishna movement doesn't work. It finished with Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada failed. Because you can't get a guru. Because you can't get a personal instruction from Krishna. Because you can't come in contact with Krishna directly unless you met Srila Prabhupada. Or unless you had some kind of relationship with him in your mind. Jiva Goswami describes this in Bhakti Sandarbha. He says, Tata Mahabhagavata Seva. Dvivida. There are two types of service to the Mahabhagavats. Prasanga Rupa, Paricharja Rupa Cha. These are known as Paricharja Rupa Seva and Prasanga Rupa Seva. Paricharja means service, just like in the Gita, Paricharmakam Karma Sudrasyapi Subhavajam. It's the duty of the Sudras to render service to the higher castes. That means some personal exchange with Guru, to render some personal service to him. Prasanga Rupa Seva is also important. At Prasanga Rupa Seva, Prasanga means topics. Prabhupada commonly translates it as that. It means hearing. It's also important. But any boka could understand there's a difference. If you're sitting in the Brahmachari Ashram, Prabhuji, and you're listening to a tape of Srila Prabhupada, and then one of your friends comes running in and says, he's crying, he says, Prabhu, my God, it's a miracle. Srila Prabhupada just walked into the temple. Even though he left in 1977, he just walked in the temple and he's giving class right now. Come and hear him. And Prabhuji says, why will I go? I'm listening to his tape. It's the same. I'll read his book. It's the same. If someone comes and invites you to go to Srila Prabhupada's room and sit down and talk with him for half an hour, no, there's no need. I'll read Prabhupada's books. It's the same thing. One is Paricharja Rupa Seva. The other is Prasanga Rupa Seva. Both are important. And Prabhupada is there in his books. But there is some difference between the two. And of the two, Jiva Goswami describes that Paricharja Rupa Seva is better. Any boka can understand that. How many girls in the audience would like to marry a boy? Very handsome boy, very rich, very learned, very gentle and nice. Only one problem is there. You'll never get to see him. But you can talk to him on the phone once a week. Do we know any ladies who would marry a boy like that? But I can't even speak on the phone to Srila Prabhupada. I can read the books and there's something there. But don't think, it's such a basic thing. There's a difference between sitting down with him and having some personal instruction and some guidance. And don't limit Srila Prabhupada. Don't cut off his legs. Don't say, now Prabhupada was the last one, and Prabhupada, you're not allowed to come in any other form. You're only allowed to come in the deity, and we'll also allow you to come in the form of your books and your tapes, but you're not allowed to come to any of your disciples. You're not allowed to come in the form of any other devotees. We won't allow it. Don't say like this. This is our tradition. The guru will appear in that way, but he appears differently for different devotees, and he's not going to necessarily be recognized by everyone. But you'll know in your heart if you cry. And for that devotee, that guru seva is his everything. There's a story in this regard we'll finish with. There was one great Vaishnav who used to be in charge of Nityananda Vat in Vrindavan. And his name was Nandakishore Goswami. This was a few hundred years ago. He had a disciple, his name was Bondu. And his Bondu was a little slow. A lot of his other disciples were experts in Sanskrit and they knew so many shlokas, but Bondu, he didn't really know very much. So Nandakishore Goswami engaged him in herding, taking care of the cows for the ashram. And every day, Bondu would go to Bandiravan on the other side of the Jamuna and take care of the cows. One day, some Brijbasis told him, "Oh, Baba, you're very fortunate to be coming here. Because you know, Nandanandan, Krishna, he comes here every day. And to this very day, people who are very fortunate, they may see him." Well, Bondhu was a very simple devotee. He thought, "Krishna's coming? Oh." And so every day he was looking. Maybe he's there. Is he there? And he didn't find him. Days went by, and weeks, and months, and years. And Bondhu never saw Krishna. Finally, he began to go mad. And he started crying. And he was crying and crying. "Krishna, I'm so unfortunate. You don't come before me." And then, one day, some local boys came before him. They said, "Hey, Baba, why are you crying? Is everything okay? Did you hurt yourself?" And Bondhu, he said, "I'm crying because I can't see Krishna." And they said, "Oh, we've seen people like you. You're one of those sadhus who worship Krishna. He makes everyone cry. Take our advice. We're Brijbasis. We know. Don't waste your time with that Krishna. Just be friends with us. Don't spend time worshiping that Krishna." And Bondhu, somehow he became friends with those boys. And every day he was going and herding the cows with them and talking with them. One day as he was leaving the ashram, as Guru Maharaj saw, he had a sack of atta flower on his head. Nandakishore Goswami said, "Bondhu, what are you doing? Where are you going with the flower?" And he said, "Oh, Guru Maharaj, I have some friends in Bandiravan. And I told them that we'd have a feast today." And Nandakishore Goswami said, "Oh, you never told me about these friends? Who are they?" And Bondhu said, "Oh, Guru Maharaj, they're so nice. They're local boys. And they're also herding the cows. And they're very, very nice to me. We have a nice time. And they're so, the leader amongst them is so beautiful. His name is Kanu." And Guru Maharaj, he's very amazing. His skin is blackish blue. And he wears a beautiful yellow dhoti, and he has a peacock feather. And Guru Maharaj, when he plays his flute, I've seen the cows, they stop eating grass. And I saw once the Jamuna River started flowing upstream. Very amazing thing. So Nandakishore Goswami was hearing this, and he said, "Bondhu, today when you go there, tell them that your Guru Maharaj is inviting all of them to come tomorrow to the ashram here for lunch." So Bondhu, he said, "Yes, Guru Maharaj." He's very happy. He has his friends. So he went there, and he saw Krishna and Balaram. His boys came. And they were spending some time. They had their feast program. And then Bondhu said, "Oh, Kanu, I forgot one thing. My Guru Maharaj, he wants to invite all of you and your friends to come tomorrow to the ashram." Very good. And Krishna said, "Bondhu, I'm very sorry. But you tell your Guru Maharaj that he won't see me in this lifetime." And Bondhu, he said, "But Kanu, it's my Guru Maharaj. You should come." Krishna said, I'm very sorry, but I can't go." Bondhu's lips started trembling. And without saying anything, suddenly he turned around very quickly and started walking away. And then Krishna, who's run after by the greatest of yogis and mystics, he started running after his devotee. "Hey, Bondhu, what is it?" And Bondhu wouldn't turn around. He kept walking. He said, "You're not my friend anymore. I don't want anything to do with you. If you're not going to respect my guru, then I'm not going to see your face." And then Krishna started pleading with him. He grabbed a hold of Bondhu's kurta. He said, "Bondhu, what I meant to say is that Balaram can't come tomorrow because it's his birthday. But certainly I can come. Your Guru Maharaj is inviting. I have to come." Then Bondhu, he said, "Oh, I'm very sorry. I didn't understand." Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, in the Bhagavatam, when Lord Nrisingadev comes to him and tells him, "Prahlad, I want you to come with me to the spiritual world. I want you to be with me." Prahlad says, "I'm sorry, I can't go. I have something more important to do." "What's more important?" And Prahlad spoke these words, "Evam janam nipatitam prabhavahi kupe prabhavitam." He said that, "How can I leave my Gurudev?
kama bikamam hanuya prapatan prasangat kritvatmasat surhasena bhagavan grihita soham katam navisajet ava britya sevam.
My Guru Maharaj saved me. How can I leave his service?
So for the devotee, service to his guru is even more important than service to Krishna.
Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha, he quotes this thing from Padma Purana. Bhakti yata haro me sti tadvarishta garavyadi mamasti tena satyena sandasha yagatu me hari.
For me, devotion to my guru is more important than devotion to Krishna. If I'm devoted to my guru, then Krishna will personally reveal himself to me.
So for the devotee, for the genuine disciple, they can't tolerate to live without the presence of their guru. And the only reason a genuine disciple will live is to execute the order of the guru.
So all the devotees of this Krishna conscious movement, we should all leave our bodies and do sati marana, like is spoken of in this verse. But if we do that, then who will push on this movement? Better than that, we should stay and serve Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada's followers by pushing on Prabhupada's movement. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ke!
I'm a little late. Devakinandan Prabhu, we have time for a question? Can give him a mic.
Thank you. Wonderful class. Thank you. I have two comments and two questions. So one comment about sati. In life of Jayadeva Goswami, his wife Padmavati, she gave the definition of sati. One day she was among the queen of Lakshman Sen, and she asked them, you know, who is sati? Then they said they didn't know, and they asked her. So she said, just after hearing that your husband had passed away and wife leaves her body, she is called sati. Then the queen, they thought, hey, she's acting very smart. So one of them made a plot, and one lady came running to Padmavati and she said, hey, I just came, I heard that your husband passed away, Jayadev passed away. And as soon as she heard, she left her body. And when Jayadev came to know about this, and he prayed to Krishna, and she came back to life. Second one about Kunti and Madri, both were prepared to be sati, but Madri gave a reason why she should be sati, because Maharaj Pandu died because of her. And Kunti accepted not to become sati for two reasons. One is, son is representative of husband, and the real pati of whole universe, Krishna, was on planet. So she wanted to serve Krishna. Therefore, she didn't want to be sati. There my comment. The question, you are talking about this paramarthik guru and laukik guru. And you said the temple person is also laukik guru. I'm sorry. My question is, the temple person engaging the devotee in service of Krishna, how can be a laukik guru? The one question. Second, you said Prabhupada said that there can be only one paramarthik guru. But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada said, Siksha Guru and Diksha Guru, both are equal and identical manifestation of Krishna. One can have many Siksha Guru, but only one Diksha Guru. So when Prabhupada talking about Siksha Guru and Diksha Guru, they are paramarthik guru. That's what my understanding. And Laukik Guru is like mother, father, the teacher who taught us in school, etc., etc. Or if you are driving and you lost your way and ask somebody, you know, please can you tell me how to get to Narvan Point or something? That can be Laukik Guru. So these are my two, you know, and question. And one more question, who just came. The guru can be by qualification, not by appointment. So this is up to the conditioned soul or soul, put soul. I'm not taking conditioned soul or liberated soul. Between the soul and the Chetta Guru to decide who will be guru. Now by appointment, we are legislating someone, you have to take, you have to choose out of these people. But if we see according to Shastra, it had to come from Chetta Guru, the one who guides. And accordingly, a conditioned soul or soul accept the guru. So please, can you clarify these two things?
Regarding the last question, it depends on the devotee. Because we get what we want. Some people want like an institutional type of relationship. And they want something easy. So they just go and ask for a list. And then therefore that's there for them. And that's okay. The Narada Pancharatra gives a simple definition for who is guru. It says a guru is someone who's been initiated into Krishna mantra, who wears tilak, and who chants that mantra. That person can also initiate other persons. But that's Pancharatrika vichar. That's a consideration of Pancharatrika vidhi. And some people, they'll want that. And that's okay. At the very worst, even if they don't have a good relationship, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says they'll get some bhakti unmukhi sukriti. They'll get some benefit because they're chanting Hare Krishna. They're doing something. But their faith is not really appropriate. They've just done it in an external way. But if they're very fortunate, after some time, they'll get faith. They'll get paramarthika shraddha instead of lokik shraddha. They'll get something transcendental. And then other people, if someone else is crying, there's a paramarthika vichar, a transcendental consideration, and Krishna will personally send guru to those persons. But not all of us are crying. And that's maybe not the most practical way to preach all the time either, because most of the people that we preach to are not really on that level. They're not crying in the heart. They just want to be a member. And so then we encourage them, yes, just be a member and do this thing. And they get what they want. But they shouldn't blame the society for that, because they're the ones who've accepted that. Your other comments, questions? About only being one paramarthic guru. It's a fact, thank you very much for pointing out. There's different types of gurus, paramarthic and lokik. And Prabhupada says, among paramarthic gurus, yet generally we say there's diksha and there's siksha. And he says that we have one diksha guru, but we may have many, many siksha gurus. Prabhupada also says there's different types of siksha gurus. And one type is someone who gives relevant instructions. And he may or may not be liberated, but his instructions are relevant. And in one sense, we can call him paramarthic. I would agree with you in that sense. But if he's not liberated, then we may, in that sense, I was saying lokik, because he may not be a liberated soul. He may be in one sense, just be in the sense that anyone who comes and chants Hare Krishna is a liberated soul, but in the sense of being completely free from material desires. Jiva Goswami says there's two speakers. We may hear siksha, there's two types of persons we may hear from, the Saragvakta and the Niragvakta. The Niragvakta is who we want to hear from. That person has no material desires. And he's a paramarthic siksha guru. And the other person, he's also giving relevant instructions. And we should respect those instructions, especially if they're good instructions. He's telling me to chant Hare Krishna. And also by being respectful to him, I'm being respectful to Srila Prabhupada. In a similar way, being respectful to my parents and to the authorities in society, those lokik gurus, the society goes on in a better way. Those particular gurus don't have to be liberated souls. The parents don't have to be liberated souls in that sense, as long as The instructions they're giving are relevant. Is that okay?
Yeah. Anyway, the sati thing, I just remember one thing. The sati pratha is still going on today also, but it's modern sati pratha. Earlier was Vedic sati pratha, that the girl or the woman will commit, she will do sati after her husband passed away. But now many girls, they commit suicide because her boyfriend left. So they are also doing some sati thing going on even today, but modern way, the Western culture way.
Yes. And I think there's a big difference in what they get. In the modern sense, committing suicide when their boyfriend leaves them, I think they become a ghost. Okay, anything else is there? Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna.
Do we have time for another question or two? Is that okay? Okay, I know we're over time.
Hare Krishna.
There's a couple of hands. Okay, Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna, can father and mother are also treated as Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru?
Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because ultimately, Shiksha is given by father and mother, and we go to the spiritual master by the instruction of ourself also sometime, and sometime we go as per the instruction of our parents.
So I'm not sure if I followed that. The parents
just wanted to know, father and mother are also considered as Shiksha and Diksha Guru?
Well, they may be Diksha Gurus. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gave Karma Mantra to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, and therefore he was both Shiksha, giving him instructions and giving him mantra. But generally the father doesn't do that. Sometimes in Vedic culture the father gives Upanayanam, so then he would be a Diksha Guru. But generally speaking, especially in our society today, the parents may be the Shiksha Guru, and we should respect them, even if they're not liberated souls, because they gave birth to us, and it'll be pleasing to Krishna. But if they give us wrong instructions, then we should beg apology from them and tell them, my dear mother, father, please forgive me, but I want to hear from a realized person, and I'm going to join the Hare Krishna movement. Okay. Prabhuji?
Prabhu, you mentioned about immediately following the disciple, immediately follows the guru's instructions, just like Parashuram immediately followed his father's instruction to cut off his mother's head. But then you have the other example of Bali Maharaj. He received an instruction and he immediately ignored that one.
Yes.
So is it that in different situations, or should always just immediately follow the guru, or immediately?
Thank you. This is a very, very big subject, and I was thinking about this before we started, but I didn't want to go in that direction also because it's a long thing. But just to touch on it very briefly, there's a number of examples in our Vedic culture of personalities who reject their guru. Guru ratyapi liptasya karyakari majanataha. This verse is quoted by our acharyas. Bhaktivinoda quotes it in Jiva Dharma. Jiva Goswami quotes it in Bhakti Sandarbha. It's from Mahabharata, but it's also found in Narada Pancharatra. And he describes that it's a duty of a disciple to reject a guru who doesn't know what's good and what's bad. Uh-huh. And in Narada Pancharatra, there's a story behind it. Narada Muni, his father tells him, you should get married and raise children because that's the goal of life and be happy like that. He was telling him something materialistic. And Narada Muni rejected him. And he told him, Saguru Paramovaryo Dadati Hyasan Matim Tam Namaskritya Sat Sishyaha Prayati Gyanadam Gurum. He says, the guru who imparts ignorance in the name of knowledge is the greatest enemy of the disciple. Therefore, and the phrase used is Sat Sishya, a genuine disciple should respectfully reject him and take shelter of another guru who can impart genuine transcendental knowledge. It doesn't say that you have to take mantra again. You've already gotten that. But you should, because if you don't have faith in that person, they're giving you some bogus instruction, how will you continue? Parshuram had such faith in his father, Jamadagni. We should have faith like that. So if I lose that kind of faith, then how can I advance? My guru will tell me, follow the temple authorities. But if I don't have faith in my guru, how will I follow the temple authorities? My guru tells me to distribute books. If I don't have faith in my guru, how will I do that service? So Narad Muni, he says that a genuine disciple is someone who rejects a guru who is giving bogus instructions. How can he be a bona fide disciple? That's like saying a genuine wife should reject her husband. How can she be a wife if she has no husband? How can someone be a disciple if they have no guru? A very important question. The answer is that being a disciple is not just a question of relationship with your guru. He's a representative of Krishna. It's like Prabhuji gave the example before of a person in the representing the government. You have a connection with the U.S. government, let's say, through the embassy. And maybe that person who's at the embassy, he quits his job and goes away. So your connection with the government is still there. So we have initiation. We have a connection with our parampara, with Srila Prabhupada and our previous acharyas, even if your guru were to go away. But if your guru falls down, you can't take instruction from him anymore. The mantra he gave you is Krishna. How can you reject Krishna? I'll chant that mantra, but I can't take instruction from him. That's a satsishya, a bona fide disciple, because he's looking really for Krishna. A bogus disciple, if their guru falls down, they say, well, my guru, he decided to start smoking marijuana and doing all nonsense things, so he's my guru. I'll also do that too. He's not a satsishya. He's not a genuine disciple, because he's not really being true to his spiritual ideals. He's compromising. So Narad Muni is teaching us in this way. Is that okay? It's a good question. Thank you. Prabhuji? Should I stop?
1 minute.
It's okay?
He's saying that the wife goes sati after the husband. Similarly, disciple should die after guru's disappearance. But he says that guru does not have chitta.
Guru is what?
Chitta, that guru does not have. So how can he go, disciple can go sati after guru?
So we gave the example for that. He's asking, I don't know if everybody could hear it, I had a little hard time, that how is it that there's no funeral pyre for the guru, so how can the disciple do sati and leave the body with the guru if there's no fire? There is a fire. That's a fire of separation. And a genuine guru, he leaves in that way, just like Madhavendra Puri was crying and crying. And just like with Sikhananda Prabhu, we gave that example in Ramuna. He couldn't tolerate separation from the Lord, and he entered into the deity of the Lord. That's why in that line of Shamananda, they consider him to be an incarnation of Pradyumna. Anyway, that's another discussion. But when he left like that, there was no fire, no physical fire, but his disciples also left. And the same fire, that Vipralamba Agni, that fire of separation, and it's not a conscious choice. I don't think it's the disciple decides, well, I think I'll leave my body also like that. But the disciple just can't tolerate it. He just falls over and leaves his body, hearing his guru left. Is that okay? All right.
Is not that, I mean, this a different meaning of the purport? Just like we sing Jayanila Premadhana Karuna Prachur, in that, you know, Pasanda Kute Matha Anale Pasibo. You know, that verse is there. Gaurangera Gunera Nidhi Kothai Gela Pabo. So, you know, like serving in separation, and that's what I understood here, the meaning of this whole purport, that after, you know, spiritual, it is the duty of the disciple to take charge of the mission of a spiritual master and execute it properly. Otherwise, the disciple should decide to die along with the spiritual master. So, other hand, Prabhupada is saying better to serve, not to die.
Yes.
So they should not try to find out, let my samadhi be ready also along with my guru. Better they stay here and serve. Go and distribute books.
Hari Bol. Thank you. Okay. Anything else, Isa? Prabhuji? The microphone, please. You can just tell me. So he's saying that if the disciple is bona fide, even if the guru falls down, don't you think the disciple should stand by the guru in his hour of need? Sadhu, sadhu. How we say, amani namana dena, I offer all respect to everyone except my guru, and him I'll kick in his face. No, that person, he gave me everything. He gave me mantra. I should also try to help him if he has some problem. But a satsishya won't accept instructions from him. Therefore, Krishna in the Gita, he says that, what is the verse, Prabhuji, ninth chapter? Apichet sudaracharo, bhajate mam ananya bhaksadareva samantavya samyagivasito hisaha. If your guru falls down, but he's still doing bhajan, ananyata bhajan. What is ananyata bhajan? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says it means he's not worshiping the devatas. It means he's not doing karma, jnana, or yoga, but he may be fallen. So you should respect him, but it doesn't say we should hear from him. Bali Maharaj didn't reject the mantra he'd gotten from Shukracharya. This is discussed by some of our acharyas. Similarly, Bhishma Dev, although he rejected Parshuram, he rejected a particular instruction. And if you read in Mahabharata, when they were fighting together every day, because Parshuram told him that he should marry Amba, every day Bhishma Dev was going before him and he'd say, Gurudev, please give me permission to fight with you today. He was treating him with respect as his guru, but he rejected his instruction. So a bona fide disciple will have to, if your guru tells you, this chanting Hare Krishna is nice, but if you smoke a little ganja along with it, that'll make it better. So you should reject that. You should reject that instruction. But as you're nicely saying, we should have a heart, and we should have compassion. And my Gurudev helped me. Now I should also try to help him. Not that I'm so proud. Is that okay? Thank you. Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna. I have a question that we see sometimes many devotees.
Loudly?
I have. There are sometimes many some devotees I have seen that the guru are present and they are taking siksha from any other ISKCON guru and continuing their devotional life. Is it right or wrong?
We may have so many different siksha gurus. In ISKCON, sometimes we have this preoccupation with the Diksha Guru. The Diksha Guru is everything. But we may have very little association with our Diksha Guru. But he's the person who gave me mantra. So I worship his picture when I do puja because he's my connection. He's Sambandha Data. He's given me that Sambandha with Krishna. My Siksha Guru may be closer in my life. Therefore, the example is Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami is initiated by Yadunandan Acharya, who is a great personality. He's a dear friend of Haridas Thakur. They say he was initiated by Advaita Acharya. He's a very exalted person. But we don't think of Raghunath Das Goswami generally as a disciple of Yadunandan Acharya, although in his books, he addresses Yadunandan Acharya as his guru. But we think of Srupa Damodar Goswami as a disciple of, of Raghunath Das Goswami as a disciple of Srupa Damodar. Srupa Raghunath. We consider that his Siksha Guru was more prominent than his Diksha Guru. There's no problem. Once my Guru Maharaj was asked, who is more important, the Siksha Guru or the Diksha Guru? And he gave a very nice answer. He said, whoever is more prominent in your heart. Very simple. Okay? Well, maybe we should stop there. It's very late. Is that okay? Srila Prabhupada ke, Samaveda Bhakta Binda ke, Gopremanande, Hari Hari Bol.